The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Back in high school, my Baptist friends came to my Lutheran church one Sunday. They enjoyed the service overall, but they were taken back by what the pastor said in the absolution. "I forgive you all your sins." They were so fixated on that because only God can forgive sins. To say that pastors have the ability to forgive sins was blasphemous in their eyes. I've even heard Lutherans labeled as being anti-Christian for this before. This concern from my Baptist friends was good-hearted. They wanted the centrality of forgiveness based upon Christ. And that's true. Even a good Lutheran would agree with that. But what my Baptist friends didn't look at is what surrounded the phrase in the absolution, "I forgive you all your sins." Because everything around that phrase displaces any authority that I would have as a human being and places the authority to forgive on Christ. The pastor says such things such as, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So why say, "I forgive you," and not, "Jesus forgives you"? To answer that question, let's begin with our gospel text. To summarize, Jesus, having seen the faith of the paralytic's friends, installs faith in the paralytic himself and heals him. But this exchange isn't normally what we see from Jesus' miracles. Usually he touches them or speaks their healing into existence. But here, Jesus begins with, "Take heart," or "Have courage." Why? Take heart in what? Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." The scribes find problems with this immediately. They call Jesus a blasphemer, which basically means they're calling Jesus a liar or a heretic. But why? All Jesus said was, "Your sins are forgiven." Well, the scribes cry out for the same thing my Baptist friends did. They said, "Only God can forgive sins. Yet this man says your sins are forgiven? On what authority does he say that?" The scribes shared a similar understanding, that only God can forgive sins, which again is true. And Jesus can say it, because he is the only begotten Son of God, begotten before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. He is God as much as God the Father in heaven himself. Yet He became incarnate of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And this man can forgive sins because he is true God. True God and true man. It's his authority to dish out forgiveness because he was the one who paid the rightful penalty of sin for all people on the cross, which was death. A physical and spiritual death. Because he went through that and rose from the grave, the authority to forgive sins is his. He wields this authority to do what? To hold it over people's heads, to force people to bow down to him because he has powers of forgiveness. Though Jesus has authority, he humbles himself to serve his neighbor in need, not to be served. How can we be so sure that Jesus has this authority to forgive, and that he is who he says he is? Well, he demonstrates his authority to forgive sins by healing the paralytic. Responding to the inner dilemma of the scribes, Jesus says, "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? That you may know that the Son of Man," which is Jesus, "has authority to forgive sins," Jesus said to the paralytic, "rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And of course, Jesus' words do exactly what they say. And the paralytic picked up his bed and went home. He healed the paralytic. He demonstrated that he did have the authority to forgive by giving people a miracle they can see and perceive with their physical eyes, thus proving immediately what kind of authority Jesus did in fact have. Now, forgiveness and healing are intricately tied together in this gospel. But we don't explicitly see and experience that linkage until the resurrection of the dead. But Jesus also leads us to see that this is what Jesus forgiving our sins leads us toward. If you have chronic pain, cancer, diabetes, or something even as severe as paralyzation as this man, with the forgiveness of sins, you are a new creation. You're healed. And you experience forgiveness in the now and not yet. Be assured, in the forgiveness of sins, you have now. And rejoice. You have peace with God. Don't be downtrodden that you don't experience healing immediately like this paralytic. That's to come in the resurrection of all flesh. But Jesus has this authority. His authority to forgive and to heal. Jesus doesn't just keep this authority to himself, though. He shares his authority. In the gospel, the crowds glorified God, who had given such authority to men. Notice the text says men, and not a man, just talking about Jesus. Because just a chapter later in Matthew 10, verse 1, it says, "Jesus called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal diseases and afflictions." And in verse 5, Jesus sends them out. Likewise, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Scripture confesses Jesus' authority. And Jesus giving his authority to his disciples to go out and make more disciples. In John's Gospel 2, we see a sending of the 12 by Jesus. Jesus breathes on his disciples, giving his spirit, and says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." From this verse, we confess the office of the keys in the catechism, which the office of the keys is that special authority Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners and to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. And pastors are sent by God to exercise this office on behalf of the congregation. In Scripture, we clearly see that the authority to forgive sins rests in Jesus. But he gives his authority to do so to those whom he sends out into the world. In the church, again, we call it the office of the keys. Because the one who is sent to the church to forgive sins locks and unlocks heaven. And what's the basis of locking and unlocking heaven for people? Why would a pastor have the office of the keys? Well, not to wield that authority over people's heads, not to make people bow down to me because I have authority given to me to do something that churchgoers want. Pastors humble themselves to serve the humbled, to serve the paralytics among us, to serve, spiritually heal, and forgive people who have real spiritual problems that often go undiagnosed in this world. And the pastor offers a voice from God himself so that you may hear the real words of forgiveness from God, who forgives sins. So to go back to the question, why say I forgive you and not Jesus forgives you? The answer is simple. The pastor is in the office, the ministry of forgiving sins. And the authority for forgiveness isn't mine, but it's Christ's. He sends all pastors to proclaim this. The I who forgives you is not Joshua, but pastor. But not because the authority belongs to me, but because it belongs to Christ. And he gives it to the church, to pastors, to use in service of his kingdom. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.